A ghost materializes today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. John Perugine, a very real person, is not only an author, but also a ghostwriter. We'll haunt him today on Scribble. Okay, so who's the real John Perugine?
That's hard to say. You know, I think I need my own ghostwriter to write about me, although nobody would believe it. So,
what got you started writing at all?
Writing? Wow, gosh. I guess it started when I was a kid. I always liked to hang out in libraries, and you know, I was one of those latchkey kids, so I spent a lot of time in the library. And
I thought they warned you about hanging out in bars.
Right. I hung out in libraries, and you know, they had a typewriter, and so I used to write my own stories. I kind of got off of the track of writing probably for the next 20, 30 years. I was a musician. I played in a symphony orchestra for 26 years, and I was also a social worker. Got a little burned out as a social worker and decided, hey, I'd like to write. So I started writing for magazines. And my wife was very supportive. I said, look, I want to do this full time. I want to be a full time writer. And she said, that's fantastic. I'll support your dream. I'll give you 30 days. And if you can't make it work in 30 days, you're going back. So within the first few weeks, I had my first book contract. And that was back in 2007. So that was the best time to leave a full time job. And so I started writing books.
You say that so casually, John. I had my first contract.
Yeah, no, it was.
You know how many listeners
are. Right, the plan is aligned. It, you know, there's been a whole lot. You know, when people say, how do you get into writing? I said, well, there's a lot of luck, you know, and I think a lot of opportunities. And so I always try to jump on opportunities when I see them. So I had written 13 books. You know, one kind of after the other, had them published. And then I decided I didn't like to wait for royalties because that, you know, you write a book, you're going to wait about a year.
Right.
So, yeah, I just started helping people write their own books. And that's kind of how I got into ghostwriting, was just helping people. And then it just became, hey, you know, I really like to help. Would you just like to write the book? Here it is. And so that's kind of how I got into it. So I've been doing that for probably 10 years now.
I got to back up. What musician, instrument did you play?
Oh, gosh. You know, nobody can usually guess that, but I was a piccolo player.
Really?
I was a piccolo player, yes.
You have the wrong bulk for a piccolo
right?
player.
I know. People are like, you know, tuba or something. No, you know, when I was 10 years old when I started playing music, I walked into the music store and they're like, you know, what instrument do you want to try out? And I said, you know, I want to play the flute. No, you want to play the trumpet. You want to play, you know, drums. I said, yeah, but all the cute girls are in the flute section. So that's where I wanted to be. And so I played the flute for many years, went to a conservatory in North Carolina. And at the age of 19, I started playing in a symphony. So that was another very lucky kind of synergistic kind of
you
time.
You must know Meredith Willson's anecdote.
No. What
about
is
it? the Oriental king who had musicians playing for him. And he was so pleased, he said, bring your instruments, I will fill them with gold. And there I stood with my piccolo. I thought every piccolo player would know that story.
Oh, no, I'll have to write that one down.
Well, I didn't realize you had written so much on your own. Yeah. That would be a whole different program. But,
right.
But what we're interested in today is the business of ghostwriting. How did you even get into that?
You know, like I said, I was writing books. And, you know, once you start meeting people in the publishing industry, then they're like, hey, John, this person kind of needs help with a book. You know, can you help them out? And, you know, ghostwriting is one of those kinds of things that people don't always understand. They don't understand what that process looks like or what a ghostwriter really does. It's not a situation where somebody says, hey, here's an idea, let me talk to you for a couple hours, here it is, write the book. It's a much more collaborative process, because at the end of the process, you know, they have a book and it should sound like they wrote it. It can't sound like I wrote it. And so, you know, I had to kind of figure out how to write in somebody else's voice. And that's the tricky part of ghostwriting, is kind of letting go my own voice as a writer and kind of becoming the other person.
That's the famous story of our president, too, that the fellow who actually wrote his book stayed with him for 6 months and couldn't get him to sit down long enough to talk about anything. And so after listening, even listening in on his phone calls, he just sat down and wrote the book himself.
Right.
And tried to put it in Donald Trump's own voice.
Right.
Runaway bestseller.
Yes.
And, you know, and he got half the royalties. That was the deal. And then when Trump announced for president, he says, do I get to run for vice president?
Right, exactly. You know, that's you know, people ask a lot, do I feel bad about not having my name on some of the books, you know, if they're successful? And I was like, you know, as long as the check clears, I'm good.
Well, I know in some ghostwritten books, the name is on, is it told is. To.
It is. It is. It just so depends.
Are there times when you are totally invisible?
Yeah. You know, I would say the majority of the books that I'm invisible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes they'll put me as like the a book coach, or they'll put me as the editor of the book, you know. But, you know, for some people, they just don't want people to know. They don't want people to know that they didn't write the book.
Yeah.
So what kind of people are these that you write for?
Oh, gosh.
Ones all over the place?
It's ones all over the place. I write for politicians. I write for, some celebrities. Athletes, you know, just whoever does, you know, there's two reasons people look for ghostwriters. They either don't have the skill to write, or they don't have the time, but they really want a book. And so, you know, I kind of help them get to that goal of having, you know, something in their hand.
Well, let me ask you about the process. I mean, does it consist in making stuff up, taking what you get and reshaping it, or just editing? What's involved?
You know, it really varies, because some people want to, do sort of the heavy lifting. So they'll give me some stuff that they've written and they said, here it is. But I like to do a lot of interviews and kind of get into, you know, a little bit deeper, because sometimes people get in their own way when they're writing a book, and they, you know, because a lot of what I write is nonfiction. So there'll be memoirs and stuff. And I, you know, they'll tell me a story and they'll say, you know, this isn't for the book, but here's a great story. And I said, no, that's the book.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's getting to know them, getting to trust me. So I usually try to go out to where they are, meet with them for a few days, you know, kind of like what you were saying with Donald Trump, and trying to get their personality, how they say things, you know, and trying to get an idea of you know, what they want out of the book, you know, what it is that they want the book to be about. Sometimes people just have an idea, but an idea isn't a book, you know, so it's really structuring and kind of pulling out this, you know, the structure.
Are they typically people who already have a contract or some interest in a publisher, or?
It just varies. You know, we also live in a town, a lot of people like to self-publish books. And so when people are wanting to do, say, a speaking career, you know, they've retired, you know, they have this name and then they want to go on the road. They don't want to wait a year or two for their book to come out. So they'll self-publish the book just so they can sell it in the back of the room. So, but, you know, some of them have contracts. A lot of them come and say, look, I've been working on a book for 10 years. I just can't get it done. You know, I have this great idea or this great concept, and I just can't get it past, you know, chapter one, you know.
Yeah. I've got a great title for a book. I just can't write the thing.
Right. Exactly. I hear that a lot.
But that's how many books have you ghosted?
Probably over 100 in my career.
How do you have the time?
You know, it's an overlap. You know, books, you know, they go through a process. You know, whether it's just the idea of a book, whether it's writing the content, or, you know, just getting the book ready for publishing and editing. So it's just I keep busy. You know, I had to make that promise to my wife that I was going to make a career out of it, or she'd send me back, you know, to what I was doing. And so, you know, it's just been, it's been quite the ride, you know, as far as, and I think there's been a lot of opportunities and a lot of luck involved that, you know, I'm able to meet some really fantastic people and learn a lot of great things. That's the other great thing about being a ghostwriter is I learn so much from these folks, you know, that they've had careers, that they are just really brilliant people that I get to really get to sit down with and talk with them.
So let's say I want a book written, but I'm not a writer. Mm-hmm. How do I even go about finding you?
You know, people find me, I mean, some of it is word of mouth. You know, people find me through social media. They'll find me on LinkedIn. Somebody will say, hey, John wrote my book. You have an interest, you know, and they'll make an introduction. I go to a lot of writing conferences. So there's already people there that are looking to write a book. You know, business conferences, you know, it's just me meeting people, you know, and people say, hey, you know, you're the person that I've been looking for. I have this great book idea. I just can't get it. I just can't get it off the ground. But in the end, I guess, you know, I get very excited the day they call and say, you know, my book has arrived. There's my name on the front. The cover looks good. And they, you know, they're very excited that they were able to work with me to accomplish that.
You have to have a great sense of discretion.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's the book, the best book I could probably write was all the stuff I could never put in writing. You know, all the other stories and things, you know, because people, you know, they open up about their lives, you know, to kind of give me the context of why they want to write something or a particular story. But some of them, you know, they would look great in print, but they just don't want it to be put out there. So, yeah, there's a lot of discretion and a lot of confidentiality. You know, some of them have me sign contracts that I can't even talk about ever working with them, which is fine. You know, they just, you know, they want that, you know, they just want right. the book. So, you know, I'm fine with that, you know, but I always look for them to give me as much of them as they can. You know, I become so, just a tool for them.
So you don't need an agent to go and find work for you, or do you have
some publishers that will say, hey, we have this person, we've just signed a contract, they can't write their way out of a paper bag, can you help them? You know, they have the name, right? They have the following, right. They just can't write. So I get a lot of those sorts of referrals.
I imagine you have all these books in your library.
I do. There's a big blanket over there, so you can't see the books there. Some of them are fine with me talking about it, and some of them are just like, there's just no way. You know.
So how do you get paid?
You know, that's the great thing about ghostwriting is that's one of the reasons I got into it, because I get paid up front. So I get paid. You know, usually they'll pay me, you know, a deposit. And then as we're working through the book, they'll pay me a little bit more. But sometimes, you know, if I think a book is going to be really successful, then I'll get it kind of on the back end and I'll take a portion of the royalties.
Okay.
I always feel obligated to help them sell the book at that point. So, you know, that's the caveat to that is if I'm going to make money, I want to help them make the money. So I'm going to be helping them with the marketing and promotion of the book, or, you know, because that's, you know, that's my business too, you know, that they're successful.
How long does it take you to write a book, to ghostwrite a book, let's say?
Typically, you know, 9 to 12 months, you know, is, you know, and things get in the way, you know, the holidays slow people down. And,
but how could you do 100 books if it takes that long?
If you do the math, I'm working usually on 4 or 5 books at a time. You know, because as I'm writing something and I'll send it to the author, it might take him a week or two to read it. Right. So then I'm on to some other book and working on that. So it's just, you know, I don't sleep much. You know, I don't take many vacations. I'm working on weekends. So, but the thing is that I love to write. And so that's why, you know, I had recently wrote a book about Iowa wine. That was a book that I just wanted to write, you know, with my name on it. And go through that. So, you know, I still try to get those projects in there that I enjoy doing as much as doing the ghostwriting.
So after hanging out in libraries, you hang out in bars now.
I am. Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is amazing to me that you are able to be this machine that just does this. Do you use a computer or typewriter?
You know, usually I start handwriting because to me, there's sort of this creative process that goes on when you handwrite something, as opposed to typing it. So I just have notebooks sitting around my office. But to me, I can get in the flow of being creative, and then I can then type it into a computer. But at that point, I'm already starting to edit it. So that's kind of using, to me, a different part of your brain. So you become more analytical at that point of cutting or making it sound better. But initially, I'm just handwriting. And even if I do an interview with somebody, you know, I'll usually have that recorded, and then I'll just listen to it, and I'll just start writing as I'm listening to that interview with them.
Do you ever turn down a project? Do you have subjects you won't do?
Yes. And, you know, early on it was, you know, I was taking whatever was handed to me. But, you know, over time, I have to really enjoy the project. I have to like the person, because it is a kind of this intimate relationship that you develop. So if I don't like the person and I don't like what they're talking about, I don't want to write it. So yeah, there's probably as many as I turn down now as I accept. And you know, there's certain subjects I don't think I'll do justice to. You know, if it's some person talking about some biomedical thing that they created, I'm not going to be their person, because it's going to be so technical, I wouldn't understand the subject matter. But there's other things, you know, there's you know, also kind of a moral code. There's certain things that I just don't, you know, violent books or things like that, that are against kind of what my, you know, what I personally believe are books that I there's plenty of other people that can write that. That I just don't want to, you know, because then, you know, I feel like I'm not doing them justice, because then I'm just going to be arguing with them.
Is it all nonfiction, or would you ghostwrite a fiction book?
Yeah, I do. I have ghostwritten some fiction. It's a harder thing, because then you're taking somebody else's concept,
right,
and you're creating a world. So at what point are you the co-writer as opposed to the ghostwriter? Usually those are more of a co-writing situation, just because if it's their concept, they might not be good at setting or character or dialogue. And so that's kind of where I step in and kind of help, as opposed to writing the entire thing. Because if I'm writing the entire thing, then I would really like my name on the cover,
right.
You know, as opposed to just, you know,
well,
having
you
them
see, I mean, people like John Sanford put the name of the person that whose book it is way at the bottom.
Right.
You know, but it's there, Bill Clinton and James Patterson, for instance.
Right.
Have you ever ghosted for a musician?
I have. I have for a couple of musicians, as a matter of fact.
And is that easier?
Yeah, actually it is, because I get kind of the musician mind, you know, and kind of the way they think, and the kind of the, you know, It changes kind of the structure of the writing, you know. And, you know, I always say to those kinds of writers that there's kind of the classical writers as opposed to the jazz writers. The classical writers have to read the notes on the page, so they're very formal, as opposed to the jazz writers that are just kind of go with the flow and, you know, see where things lead. But, you know, so they kind of get that, you know. So, but I do enjoy writing for, you know, for people that I know and understand. And so music is one of those that I really get excited about.
Oh, do you ever go back to the piccolo?
You know, after so many years playing the piccolo, my hands just couldn't, you know, I started getting arthritis. And, you know, when you play for so long, you, you know, you end up playing everything you wanted to play. And, you know, piccolo is one of those things that, you know, practicing it, you know, not many people wanted to be in the house when I practiced the piccolo. So,
but did you, you said you started on the flute.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a capable flute player?
Yeah. Well, yes. You know, it was one of those things that, when I was in school, you know, I played mostly flute, and you know, piccolo was one of those things that there were fewer people that did it well. So I just kind of said, hey, let me do that, you know, and, I was able to do it. And when I guess really how I ended up playing the piccolo was I was at Appalachian State, and there was a opening, that they needed a player to play the Beethoven's Ninth. And there's a piccolo part in the last movement at the last part of the movie. So I had to, of course, sit through the entire thing. And so the conductor came up and he wanted me to play that solo, for him in a teeny little practice room. So I'm like, you know, a foot from him playing the piccolo. So after that, I became the piccolo player. They didn't want me to audition for the symphony. They just gave me the spot because they didn't want to hear me playing any more piccolo in an audition. They said, you were capable. That's okay. We don't need to hear it, you know, up close anymore.
Can you align parts of your brain maybe with playing an instrument and writing?
Yeah. You know, I think it really, I think it comes from the same place. I think that kind of creative. I think that when I look at writing, I see rhythms. You know, it's interesting. Even when I'm editing somebody's work, I kind of see the patterns and the rhythms in the writing. So I think it's just kind of this natural thing that I'm able to do. That I, you know, that to me, the rhythm of writing is either very choppy or, you know, it flows nicely. And so I think I use a lot of that background in music in what I do as a writer now.
There's a famous case, and I can't think of the man's name. I value his book. He was called in when someone wrote this book, Colors or something. I forget the name of it. It was based on Bill Clinton's campaign, and it was anonymous, and no one can figure it out, so they asked this man to look at it, and he went through the writings of various reporters. Oh, yeah, it's this guy. And the man denied it. And finally, after months, he admitted, yes, I did write it. And I think, how did he do that? You know, and he said, well, every writer has a style and a rhythm, a frequency of certain words, the way he builds a sentence and so on. He says, once you find out what that mark is, it's there all the time. How do you keep your mark from appearing in others' works?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody wants to hire me, they'll say, well, can I see some samples of your work? And I said, if I showed you three books, samples of books that I wrote and it sounded like me, then I failed, right?
Right.
You know, if they sound similar. So I think a lot of it is having other people read it and having the author read it. You know, one time I had an author that, you know, she called me back and she says, you know, I just love this chapter. She says, I laughed and it was just really so funny. She said, there's only one problem. I'm not that funny. So I had to go back and change it. I had to make it less funny. She says, I'm just not that funny. So obviously some of my personality had gotten on the page. I kind of, you know, went overboard. But so I have to check myself, you know, every once in a while. And the interesting thing is, you know, I've met other ghostwriters and, you know, I've met other writers that wanted to be ghostwriters. And I think the hardest thing is kind of what you're alluding to, which is how do you put my writing ego away? How do I not write the way I think it should sound as opposed to what it should sound like them? And that's hard, you know, and sometimes I have to reread something and say, I'm putting too much of me into that. But I have to go back to them and I'll listen to the recording.
But it's also true that them doesn't always sound like them. Right.
Right, that's true.
I mean, was it Cummings that said to be yourself in a world which night and day is trying to make you everybody else? You know, there may be a writer out there who hasn't found her voice.
That's true.
And you might see that more than she does.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And, you know, and people tend to write the way they speak and their writing voice is different than the way they speak. And sometimes if somebody is a great, you know, orator, it doesn't translate well to the written word.
Right.
And so, yeah, so there's that speaking voice. And I think part of it is having them go back through the work and trying to make it sound more like them or having somebody close to them read it. Say, does that sound like them, like a spouse or a friend, and having them read some of the manuscript? Because if it doesn't, then I, you know, I have to go back and kind of change it. But I just try to listen to them. Here's the other thing interesting about music is I create soundtracks for people. So once I meet them, to get in the mood of that person, I develop the soundtrack of music that I'll listen to get my mindset into their space as I'm writing, to kind of become them. I don't know. It's kind of like multiple personality sometimes, I think. But I do. I use music to kind of get myself into their mindset or into, you know, how they would sound.
You know, John, when I was first conned into writing a column, I went back years later, looked at and thought, this is too pedantic. And there were, obviously, there are two sides. There's me, the spoken me, and then there's the writing me, which is altogether too formal. And so my big job was to try to get my speaking voice into my writing.
Right.
Is that a normal division?
It is. It is. It absolutely is. And, you know, again, coming from kind of, you know, my kind of psychology background, which is you're using different parts of your brain when you speak and you write. I mean, literally, I mean, you know, physically. Right. And so I think that we do speak and we do read and we do write differently than our spoken voice. And some of it, you know, if there's a great speaker, I've just seen them just write really bad stuff just because they're trying to write the way they speak and it right. just doesn't translate well.
Well, should you write the way you speak or should you have?
I think it's a place to start. But I think that, you know, there's elements of good writing, you know, there's elements of flow and putting, you know, if somebody was just writing an article, it's different than writing an entire book. So, you know, there's rules and, you know, things of that will make the writing better, you know, things that will flow better, than just the voice, you know, and that's what I try to work with them on.
Yeah, so do you write something as short as articles or essays?
Oh, yes, yes. So that's probably a whole other episode of how I got into journalism. But so I do write magazine articles. I write some stuff in New York Times and things like that. And sometimes I write other people that want to write for those people.
Right, okay.
And so I ghostwrite articles for people. I also found myself writing eulogies recently. I don't know how I got into that, but people have a hard time writing a eulogy because it's a very emotional thing.
Right.
So they're like, here's everything I know about them. Can you write something nice? And maybe that's my retirement plan is to write eulogies.
Well, you know, this is absolutely fascinating. And here you sit, you know, you've had your hand in all these books. You had a life in music. You have written your own. Is this your heart's desire, Iowa Wine?
You know, it was. You know, the story was that, you know, I bought a house that used to be a vineyard. So I just got interested in the history, and of course, my mother-in-law is Gina Shantz. She's a historian, so she told me all about it. That it used to be, of course, Davenport's property or his son's property. So. So we built a vineyard in our backyard, and that's kind of how I started that book.
Which Davenport? Bailey?
George Lost.
George, oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's right, he used to have a vineyard out there in West Davenport.
Yeah.
My goodness. You live at a wonderful intersection of the arts, I must say, John. And you obviously enjoy it and have made a good living at it. John Perugine is the name. Are you easy to? I imagine there are writers listening who think that's the guy I want to talk to.
Right.
Are you in the phone book?
Yeah. You know, I'm out there. You know, I have a web page and everything. They can find me. It's John P. Writer. It's pretty easy. You know. I just make it very simple for people to find.
Well, thank you very much for enlightening me, and I'll see if I can prepare a contract for each other. And that'll do it for today. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. We've been talking to John Perugine, a ghostwriter and also a writer in his own right. We'll be back next week with another session of Scribble.